You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
All right, everybody, welcome back to another episode of the Bowhunter Chronicles podcast brought to you by Huntworth. Huntworth bringing you quality packs and clothing at a price you deserve. Check them out at huntworthgear.com. And I just got some of their heat boost stuff in, getting ready to go down to Ohio for, the rutcation. Trying to catch the deer on that seeking phase, kind of when they're moving around, hitting scrapes, and not in the chasing, lockdown type peak rut. Trying to get that pre-rut action going, and real excited to be testing out their heat boost stuff. Used it over the weekend, and temperatures weren't that cold, but I did do some duck hunting, and I had the vest on underneath my waders, and it was pretty phenomenal. And the bulk aspect of it is completely negligible. You would think that you had on something that was early season. From what it is, it's super, super awesome, super warm stuff. Like I say, I got to try it down at the Mobile Hunters Expo and finally got it to in my hands to use on the deer hunting side of it. And their jacket, for all you saddle hunters out there, they're like colder weather series jackets, but the heat boost jacket does have the pockets like on the like breast pockets to put your hands in, so you actually have pockets that are viable when sitting in the saddle. So that's one of the things that I'm super pumped about. So gotta say shout out to Huntworth for listening to us and making clothing that that's good for the saddle hunter too. Super excited about that. So anyways, this podcast, we're talking about our recent deer camp, Deer Hunter Podcast and Hunting Beast Latitude. Those guys had a deer camp the same weekend, and they've got a podcast out talking about that. And Kevin and I were texting back and forth saying pretty cool that we did it on the same weekend. And, I think that's a testament to like what we're about here, both Kevin and I, of the deer camp aspect of it. That Michigan tradition, getting guys together, having fun, sitting around the fire, talking and hunting, the buck pull, all of that stuff is invaluable. You know, this during this hunt, we're up in an area with super spotty service. So no, you know, you're not on your phone. You're actually engaged with the people that are around you, and you're, you know, kind of isolated. We were up there. I mean, yeah, there was grocery store nearby. We weren't in the middle of nowhere. But I literally spent, I think, $9 that weekend. And that was buying two sodas and some chips, but to congratulate Josh Mapes on his deer and kind of breaking the ice, getting everybody going on killing deer. And what an amazing experience. I'm so glad to be able to share it with the people that support the show, and that it was special for them too. You know, Patreon, you think of as you know, just giving us money. And we do giveaways. We just announced our giveaways for the third quarter tonight. And, you know, all of that is just to say thank you. And I wanted something special to be able to, you know, offer guys who really and truly support us in what we're doing. And I'm really glad that the feedback was so good. But tonight we got myself, Frank, Ernie, and John just to kind of talk about, you know, our experiences, what we took away, what we see in the future for it. And all of that. So, you know, if you guys are Patreons and supporting the show, we really do appreciate it. But we want this to be, you know, something for you. We're trying to do as much as we can to give back, and take advantage of some of those things. Join that Marco Polo group. Get to know some of the guys. You know, we are building a community. So, If you're supporting us, thank you so much. But you know, there's so much more to get out of it if you're not involved with that community. A bunch of great guys. But you know, shout out to all the sponsors. Latitude gave away a bunch of stuff. Trophy Line came through, gave away a bunch of stuff. Huntworth, we gave away a bunch of Huntworth stuff. Spartan Forge, Zingers came through, huge. And we give away stuff every quarter from most of those companies, Huntworth, Spartan Forge, and Zinger, Lucky Buck as well. They give away either some of their seed product if you're here in Michigan where you can't use the mineral, or they give away a bucket of the mineral. You know, these guys just support us. And then so this quarter, we're going to be giving away, I got to get with Tim and figure out how we're going to do it, but I want to give away one of the adjustable red dots. I don't feel like we talk about that enough. And just super easy target acquisition for guys that have trouble with a peep sight, for guys that have trouble, you know, getting on the deer. You know, Josh Mapes, you know, probably if he was using a red dot, probably could have had a buck killed. You know, he couldn't see his pins. Forgot to replace the battery in the light, and you know, and he's gonna love this because I love to, you know, kind of take shots at him when I can. And congratulations, Josh. He got a saddle up there, and he's already killed a deer out of it. So awesome from that side of it. But and this quarter we're gonna give away a bow again. Not sure what we're going to be giving away. Got to get with Huntworth, see what we're giving away. You know, fresh into the fourth quarter, got to see what we've got coming down the pike as far as giveaways go. But we try and give away, give back, do as much as we can. But we appreciate every single one of you. Thank you so much. And I hope listening to this episode, you'll get kind of an idea of, you know, what the whole Patreon thing is all about and what we're trying to do with it. So, as always, thank you for listening. Enjoy the episode. All right, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of the Bow Hunter Chronicles podcast. Adam, John, Ernie, and Uncle Frank. Going to do a little recap of our, Patreon deer camp. And, from all the feedback that I got, the experience that I had there, I think it went phenomenal. I know the Deer Hunter podcast guys, they just had a deer camp up with Dan Infault and the Latitude guys, Aaron Blysey, and they same weekend and had a great time too. But I think there's something. I mean, they went out and they killed some bucks, and I think they killed a one doe, and they were hunting hard, and you know, I'm sure they had fun, but. So ours was more, you know, first of all, it was for the Patreons, and it was like kind of like a learning weekend, kind of. But I just want to go like around the room. Like, John, what, so what's your experience? Or John's been on the road eating truck stop food for the last
4 days.
4 days.
And it appears as though we're going to pay for that now.
No.
He's going to make a mad dash for the door here shortly. But so, like, John, your, like, history of, like, Michigan, like, deer camp. Did you grow up, like, having a deer camp or going to deer camp? Anything of that nature?
Actually, not really. No, because, like, the year I always heard about them, like, going up to the UP, my dad always went, Uncle Frank. And the year before I turned 14 to go to gun camp, there was like a riff or whatever falling out. And so when I turned 14, my dad and I went up by ourselves. But then we always had like a cabin that we went to as like a family friend. And, you know, there was kind of like the camp feel there, but it was never like a big camp. So that's basically like my first big deer camp like that. Like, so it was like kind of a first time for me too.
So Ernie, what about you? Like when you were growing up or when you were coming up deer hunting? Cause I feel like it's definitely a Michigan thing. I mean, I'm sure that other states do it, but I think Michigan's deer hunting tradition. And I mean, you see it with the hunting public and Jake and his family where they do their deer camp. But I think it's something that's kind of going away a little bit. It definitely has in our family, really. But for you, Ernie, like, was that a thing?
Oh yeah. 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 Of course it started when you're 14. It was a gun camp. It was at my grandfather's place that we've always had in Lake County. When you were 13, Thanksgiving weekend, you were able to go sit with my father, and he kind of broke in on trying to be quiet and trying to sit still and stuff. So 14 was a big deal. You know, you'd go up there and it'd be mostly family with maybe one or two close friends, but there'd be eight, nine, 10 people. And it was a serious hunt camp. And they played their little cards at night, table full of pennies, you know, and you'd watch as a youngster do dishes. You know, you grew up in that environment, and then you graduated. You waited for the next young guy to come along and take your place, you know. But it was kind of a serious hunting camp, but it was enjoyable. You sit all day. I mean, it was, you went out there, and my dad would walk away in the dark and come back in the dark and get you, you know, when you were little. It was some long days, but you learned how to sit. So I appreciate that.
Frank?
Well, as far as camps go, with my brother-in-law, Phil, we used to, you know, maybe 3-4 guys, you know, all in a camper together, you know, in a truck camper, not a regular trailer. So it was a little intense, you know, but it was like a camp, but it was, you know, more or less, like I say, serious gun, you know, not a real, you know, camp situation. And then when John and I started going to the UP and stuff, you know, that was more of a camp, you know.
You just had a big wall tent.
Yeah, we had a big wall tent up there and stuff with a stove in it and, you know, used a generator for lights. We had lights and stuff inside. But that was a pretty cool experience, you know. That was my first taste of, you know, actual hunting, you know, any situation, you know, because you get up there in the UP, you didn't know if it was going to snow or what, you know, and we ran into that a few times, you know, but And then, like John said, when things kind of fell apart on that, we never had a camp after that. This was my first experience with this many people, I'm telling
yeah,
you.
Yeah, we'll get into that in just a second. But like, so me, you know, Frank and Ernie have been up there. I can't get John to make the trip. But
he'll go to Montana though.
Yeah, the place in the UP. And what's funny is John's buddy thought this camp was going to be in the UP, so he's like, "Yeah, just pick me up, come along."
Right.
But you know, my family's had 40 acres in the UP since the Depression, and then they had a little tiny. I mean, I don't. What would you say that main room is, Ernie?
In the front.
Yeah.
Including just the kitchen and sitting area?
Yeah.
16 by 20.
Yeah. And that, so they had that, and that was deer camp. And then I think in the late 70s, they put on the bunkhouse in the back, which is about the same size, but it's
a little longer.
Five sets of bunk beds and a double bed. Yeah. But they used to have in that front room 11, 12 guys. Just wow. In that room, and they would sleep underneath the table, sleep on the table, all that stuff. And then like at the height of it, when I was going up there, because I'm the oldest grandkid, but then when my cousins and brothers all got up there and before sports got involved and people got married or, you know, went to college or whatever, you know, there was, everything was full. People were sleeping out in the front room, and then there was a camper outside, or they were sleeping in the pole barn. So, I mean, we would have 15 guys, 11, 12 guys for opening day. But, you know, when you guys say like a serious deer camp, everybody's up there to kill deer, but I don't think that they were like the serious type hunter. It was the bait pile, and it was, you know, much like our buck pole ended up on Saturday night, you know, maybe one good buck and whatever else walk by, you know, kind of a brown it's down situation. But that was, you know, the Michigan guy who just wants to get his deer or wants to get away, have, you know, that camaraderie type camp experience. And so, like, I feel like when we were like in Ohio, like we got to have some of that, but yeah, so how this whole thing kind of came about is, you know, my buddy Walter, who does the Chase and Tales podcast, he's like, "I'm going to have a Patreon deer camp." And I was like, "Okay, that sounds cool." But it seemed like a big logistical, like, nightmare. And then, you know, the style of hunting, you know, I've talked about this recently, but like the style of hunting that we do ends up kind of being like a solo venture. You know, you're trying to find these bucks and you're trying to go deep and get away from people on public land. And so I was like, "Yeah, I don't know about that. Like, it seems like a big to do." And then, you know, one of the Patreons, Tyler, he was like, "You know, with our group on Marco Polo, like, we should try to put together a deer camp. Like, it'd be really cool, you know, to go just find a piece of public land and try and do a deer camp." And then a couple of the guys came over and turkey hunted and then Tim Clark and those guys come over, and we had them on the podcast. You guys can go back and listen to that. But, and that was a lot of fun, you know, cause those guys were seeing new terrain. They were seeing how I hunted, seeing how, you know, we did things on this side of the state, I guess. And they're like, "Man, we should do this for deer camp." And Tim's like, "We need to make it happen." So I was like, "All right." So right then and there, I looked at it and said, "Okay, we're going to do this." And so I kind of started putting a bug in you guys. You're like, "Hey, we're gonna do a deer camp." And we've got a little piece of camping property, which I thought had pretty liberal rules as far as like what you could and couldn't do up there. But we found out that was a lot.
Pushed them to the limit. You can't pop up a small village. Is what they were,
well, yes,
explain.
You can.
Apparently we could.
Yeah,
they just didn't know it.
They didn't know.
Ends up, it was fine.
But yeah, so, and there's a ton of public land, and I looked at the schedule and said, like, this will be, it's not opening weekend, it's not into the rut, you know, I mean, I think it was about the perfect weekend to do it because
yeah, we had great weather and stuff. I
mean, well, the weather was perfect.
Incredible. You're not tearing somebody away from something they got going, you know, pre-rut or rut. So that's cool.
But so I start trying to figure it out and getting my property set up to, and when I say property, it's not like it is literally 100 feet by 150 feet. So it's not, it was not like,
it's not 150 acres.
It's not like this big property. And my buddy has property that butts up against it. That's, so my property's 3 lots and he's got 10 lots, but 5 of them are cleared probably. So I'm like, yeah, we could do a deer camp here. So I put out the bat signal and holy shit. I mean, like, you know, I thought, you know, a couple of guys might show up, you know, it would be good, you know, just test the waters, get this thing on the going. And like, it was like, I'm coming. Brian came from Rhode Island, Michael from Texas, yeah. We had Eric from New York, Iowa, Alex came from Iowa, yeah. And then
Chicago.
I just drove through Iowa today. I was thinking of Alex.
Yeah, Wyatt and Jason come up from Illinois, and you know, then the Michigan guys, and you know, and then there was guys that couldn't make it. Stan was going to come from Washington, and then a couple other Michigan guys. But I was telling Frank and Ernie and John, like, well, how many guys you think you're going to be able to get up there, and you know, whatever. And I said, well, 30. He said, well, excuse me, like, huh? Like, how, where are they going? What are you going to do? I'm like, it'll be fine. I think it'll be. It'll be okay.
I rolled in that Thursday night like 11:30 and I was like, holy shit.
It's a village.
I'm like, well, I could see it from, I mean, it's back in there off the little main road, and I'm like, it was definitely a village. Like, I seen lights here and fire going, and there was like 18 trucks parked.
Yeah, we got to do something about the parking next time. If we do it again, man, I'll tell you.
But we, you know, so we get this thing set up, and you know, a lot of the guys, well, and this is one of the other funny things, and Ernie, you can probably, you know, expound on this a little bit, but like, you know, I drove up there when I was working on the property, and I've been, you know, going up there camping. I drive by, and it's all state land, and there's deer all over. I mean, you can't drive down the road without seeing deer across the road. So I'm like, I know there's a lot of deer, I know there's a lot of hunters up there, but there's 50,000 acres. Just what starts less than a mile away.
Oh, yeah. Just to the south.
Yeah, every direction.
And it's no antler point restrictions, so these guys coming from out of state didn't have to, you know, worry about, you know, buying a tag and then having to let something walk or whatever. And, you know, for guys that are these big buck conservationists and they want to, you know, they're chasing antlers, like, they probably got to look back at themselves when they were just starting out or when they hadn't killed a whole bunch of deer, you know, to kind of appreciate what was going on there. But
it was a chance to get some under your belt.
Yeah. And the whole thing was like, these guys are like, well, you know, you're familiar with the area, you know, and I'm like, I haven't hunted here. You know,
well, that's
like,
the same thing. A couple of them asked me, I says, Wednesday, the first day I stepped foot on this stuff around here, I said, I come up, put that power panel up, you know, months ago, but, you know, that's what we're going to do. I'm doing the same thing you are.
Right. That was my first time being here.
Scouting hunt.
Your lot.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so, I mean, I think that was a really good way to kind of show these guys kind of like how we hunt, right? I mean, because that wasn't like just out of the blue, like we didn't know what we were doing either. I mean, world's worst bow hunter, right? Like I didn't know what I was doing, but we just looked at it and said, okay. And then we had some really great guys.
That's what I was going to say. Like we had Tim Clark. And then we had, Tom
was a huge help.
Yeah. Like he was. Tom come in and he's getting ready to move out to Montana.
He's
on his way there now.
Yeah.
And yet he come up and put the time in. Like, he went down, scouted some spots, found some good tracks, and even some buck tracks. And he was like, all right, who wants to go? Like,
yeah, he took several guys over there.
Right.
Well, yeah, he come talk to me that second day, and he says, man, this is cool. You guys go out and find these locations. You just put these guys there. He said, and then the next day it was like he hit it hard, and he had three other guys with him, you know.
Right.
So that was cool. He enjoyed it, and we enjoyed it.
Like, for me, I got up there late. I didn't, you know, we slept in. I brought my son up. He hadn't shot his bow or anything. Matter of fact, he didn't even bring his driver's license to get his hunting license. So then that first night that I was going to hunt, I hadn't even looked at the maps or anything. And then Pat was like, hey, well, you can come with me. I'm like, all right. You know, so he had hunted there the day before or that morning.
Yeah, me and Pat. So Pat was a super huge help. He came up like the weekend before. He had scouted up there one time. Then he came up there and met me, and we scouted around. And then he was on the property with me. So he's like, I'm going to be up here Wednesday night. And I was like, okay, well, this is going to go here. This is going to go here. If people come, you know, he did get the Fort Holder award that also had welded on the back of it, Camp Bitch. So
should have been the King of Pasta too, because
he
made a lot of pasta.
But yeah, so he brought me with him. So that was another thing. Like, well, yeah, awesome.
And it did work. That really worked out better than I thought it was after we realized like this was a village, but it was it was smooth.
But not only that, like Tim and Tom, Pat, like those guys all, they were sharing the knowledge. Like, okay, find the acorn, find the, like that train up there is a bunch of pines mixed with hardwoods, and the spots that were hot were where the acorns were dropping. So that was like, you know, that was knowledge that some guys up there probably didn't know much about.
Well, what was super cool is I talked to Chris, one of the guys, and his brother Jack was up there, and he says, after the fact, you know, he said, I looked at Jack and I said, do you know how much knowledge we got? Like, we had access to in just one weekend, like those couple days.
Right.
Like, you know, and just being able to walk into the woods with somebody or see someone that was successful and ask them, or that was seeing deer and you weren't seeing deer, and say, okay, what are you doing? Like, why did you go there? Why did you look at that on the map? Because like Joe and Josh were on deer immediately, and Joe runs the Generations to Hunt podcast. And if you reach out to him, ask him what his mama didn't raise.
You are getting him a shirt, right?
I think we're going to have shirts made. Tom said he really wants a shirt. But
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. In breaking news, leading scientists worldwide are conducting experiments to determine if Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. However, it appears the study was inconclusive, as the scientists couldn't help but eat all the Reese's. Because when you want something sweet, you can't do better than Reese's. Find Reese's now at a store near you.
Message me on the side, I'll tell you. And then Josh Mapes is the guy from Overdrive Outdoors who kills coyotes, but he's a great deer hunter too. But I think being in the woods so much and, you know, watching deer through thermals while you're waiting for coyotes, you know, you learn a lot about how deer move. But those guys looked at the map completely different than I was. And I think you kind of alluded to it too, Ernie, in saying, like, you know, all the scouting that we did ahead of time and like going up there and looking around was great, but it didn't mean shit because all the deer were where the acorns were. And because of the time of year, like we all dove into these spots that were like not by the road, and like everybody was killing deer like right on the road where the acorns were. And
like they weren't everywhere.
No.
Very, very spotty.
Yeah, that's like.
And still dropping.
But it was like perfect because, you know, when we talk to these guys on the podcast who say, and Frank, you've said it tons of times, but you're like, if there's acorns everywhere, then it's a lot tougher to hunt. But now there was just acorns here or there, and it took some driving around, looking for tracks, seeing deer across the road. And then you're like, okay, well, the deer are in there for some reason.
That's what you're looking for, you know. Yep.
But, put the two together and go in there.
Yeah.
But it was just, I mean, so like John, when I, you know, you had never been up there, not even to see the property or like the layout or anything like that. I'm explaining to you and I'm like, yeah, we're going to have 30 guys up there. Like, what was your like thoughts on like the whole, like when you were driving up there, like what did you expect?
Well, I wasn't sure what to expect. I was like, you know, well, it's going to, I was expecting just to go up and have a good time. Like I even, you know, I told my son, I'm like, he wasn't going to come because he's like, I haven't shot my bow, Dad, so I'm not going to hunt. I'm like, I might not even hunt either. I haven't even, you know, like this might be my only opportunity this season, but I'm going to go up and hang out and have a good time because I know that there's going to be, you know, I wanted to see Pat and Tom, Tim. I wanted to see all the guys, you know, but like to get to hang out with like, you know, like-minded people, I was like, I couldn't wait to get up there. And then.
Well, and it was very apparent, like, after the first day that it was just looking around, it was like, okay, you could substitute bow hunting for target shooting. And it's like, this is the same thing that we do at the Total Archery Challenge. It's just, we drink a lot more at the Total Archery Challenge because you don't have to go out. You don't get to get up early.
Well,
you
know? Well, you're not getting up early.
We got up early with Tom and Sarah the one year.
And Pat, I think. Yeah, that was a bet, but we learned our lesson. We didn't do that again. We
exactly
didn't
get right. up early
again. We said, you guys take a stroll on the mountain that year?
Yeah.
How'd you feel?
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, like, accomplished. That's how I felt.
Felt like puking as well. Like I felt.
But it was the same thing. I mean, everybody was just like in the same mind frame. Like, hey, you know, what do you learn? Like, what did you see? What are you doing? And then you're swapping stories from like before and things you learned and why you did that. And I mean,
so like when Tim shot his deer, you know, that night there was 5 deer killed. Mm-hmm. One of them already been recovered. You know, Jet and I got back. We had every intention of hunting in the morning. So we left our gear in the tree, but we got back and it was like, there's 5 deer down, and ended up Jet and I went with Tim and like 6 other guys. Like we all piled into this excursion and tracked this deer. But what was awesome was like Jack was on that track and he had never done it. And like, and then Tim's explaining like, okay, this is where he explained the whole thing. When we got in there, he had been out on his little electric bike going around. He found tracks. He found sets of tracks going into this little swale, two different sets on each side, nothing coming out. So then he was like doing the perimeter scan and he could hear acorns drop, and he actually walked in and one hit him in the hat. But so like,
you ain't got to get hit in the head to realize that this is the right spot. Huh?
Good thing it wasn't watermelons, man. I'm telling you that.
But so for him to share that information to guys, you know, is just.
Well, and if you take just a step back from that, is Tim went over there and checked it out because Josh seen a buck cross the road
right there.
And he was hunting a different buck. And he, you know, instead of saying like, I'm going to hold this spot for me.
Right.
And Josh took Kyle with him to hunt the other spot because he seen another deer. And he's like, you know, everybody was helping everybody out. It wasn't like there was nothing selfish about it. But Josh tells, you know, hey, there's a buck across the road right there. And he goes in there and kills him. I mean, but that's what I was going to say. Like from like we got to do it a little bit in Ohio. But like for guys who, you know, maybe they got one buddy that they can call to help track a deer. Or they don't really know what to do. Like when I was growing up. And we were at this big deer camp, and it was, granted, it was rifle. So the dynamic was different because you're sitting there and it's prime time. And then you hear a shot over there and, you know, your dad's sitting over there, or your uncle or your brother. And you're like, oh my gosh, you know? So like, even if you aren't successful, even if you don't shoot something, like there's that anticipation. And every time when you get back to camp, you're like, What'd you see? What do we got? Are we tracking? You know, and like up there, it's like we got the four wheeler with the trailer and we got the lights and we're like, all right. And it's like a party, you know, and that's what happened with you. And so, you know, for me, it was, you know, I was helping Michael and we went and sat a couple times and then he went with, I forget who he went with, someone else who was on deer. And, I went and sat where you had seen a deer and I could have shot a deer Friday night and it was just through some pine needles at 26 yards. And I was like, man, I really want somebody to shoot something at this camp. And that was a thing from like off of the jump. It was like, we're not really passing anything just because we want, and I'm not talking about me. It was like, that was like the vibe at camp. It was like, we're here to shoot deer.
Right. Well, and two, it was pretty difficult hunting because the moon was full and those deer were moving during the daytime in the middle of the day, you know? I mean, you drive around or whatever, you know, or go to get into a spot and there's already deer there, you know? So right. I told them guys, I said, if it was me, you know, I would find them spots, you know, that activity is and get in there and hunt the middle of the day or whatever, you know?
Right. Well, like, I mean, they're not going to go too far from the acorn.
No, when
they're dropping because, you know, the woods are basically all this. There's all kinds of cover throughout that mixed, you know, forest with hardwoods and
clear cuts,
pines. And so they're not going to go too far. Like Tom's seen those deer two different times during it. Like they bumped them out.
Right.
One point, and then he went back to camp, got some guys and went back again. And they were back again. You know, the deer were still right there. So,
well, Ernie and I got out and we were checking them that second spot. Remember when there was turkey shit, turkey tracks, deer just shit, deer, the road.
The acorns.
We get out of the truck and we walked, 10 feet or so, and all of a sudden, they left. Right. They were right there alongside the road in the pines, you know. And that was midday, you know.
But so I didn't want to, like, wound something or whatever, trying to shoot through something, trying to force it. And I was getting kind of nervous that there was nobody who was going to shoot anything because, you know, Joe had passed some deer. And Josh got the full draw on that buck and just wasn't working out. And Chris Burnett, the big tall Chris, he passed a couple does at four steps or something like that. I'm like, come on, guys. Like, we need to shoot something. Well, like
I passed up.
Yeah, you passed some deer. A doe and a fawn.
Yeah, I could have shot them both. But
I mean, that
I had the... Well, I think it was Joe.
Joe.
Joe had talked
about bother him the
second
night.
Time. No, because like that first time I got into camp, he was like, I could have shot a doe, but she had a yearling with it. I'm like, and that's normally how I am too. Like, I don't.
Yeah. Well,
unless
told
it's like a button buck or something. Like, you kill the doe, and the buck's going to probably stick around because the does will push them bucks off. They're going to run them out of their area, so they don't. When they get mature enough,
right.
They're not going to breed them. But
I told Joe, I said, well, if you shoot the doe and the fawn, like you didn't orphan anything.
Right.
All right.
So that's what he did.
That's what he did. Well, but he said, well, after we get to the buck pole and all that stuff, and he pulls him in and he says, well, after I pass him, you guys called me a bitch. So, he goes, Mama didn't raise no bitch.
Yeah, he did her.
But yeah. I'm sitting there in the tree.
Got an award for it, too.
On Saturday, and, you know, it was like we had just walked into a spot. It was Nate, Chris, and I told Chris, I said, just go up the edge of this clear cut and walk back in there. And I said, it might be kind of close, but I'm like, that looks like a – that's where kind of where I would want to be if I was just hunting. That we just walked down and we ran into another hunter. So we kind of peeled off closer than I would have liked to. It wasn't the greatest sign, but I'm sitting in there and all of a sudden I look at my phone and I have a missed call from Josh. And I'm like, oh, okay. And then like, you shoot that buck. He's like, I shot a doe. And I was like, all right, cool.
Game on.
And then it was like, Tim shot a buck, good buck. So I text you guys, Ernie and Frank, and they're like, we got to help Jason. He shot a doe. And so I'm like, holy shit. And then I, like, on Facebook Messenger, Joe's like, two down. Like, Jesus Christ, you know. But so then I'm texting everybody trying to figure out, like, what's the plan for this. And so we get back, and Josh, he shot it, and it ran down this ravine, up the other side, and then back down. And he's like, I'm going to need some help. So I'm like, okay. And so they all sent me pins where they were at. I'm like, well, we'll go back to camp. And so Jack and Nate rode with me. He hopped out, and Michael was there from Texas. And I'm like, hey, have you ever tracked a deer, or, like, you know, done this? And he's like, no, not really, you know. So I'm like, well, hop in, you know. And I'm like, this is the best part, you know, because now it's like, okay, we're going to collect them. And, you know, luckily it wasn't, you know, a lot of times, more often than you'd like to admit or you think about, like, with bow shots, if you don't see them go down, you know, then the odds go really in your...
Start going the other way.
Yeah. And so it's like, oh, man, this could, you know, for your situation, the more guys, the better, right? You had eight, you know, and there's four of us on Josh's deer, and I think three guys went with Joe, but they, you know, going out there and then having, you know, your buddies to joke around with, and you're, oh, there's blood, like, oh, you know, and just, you get up to it and inevitably, like, talk about ground shrinkage, like, oh, I swear it was bigger, you know.
Well, the one that we helped Jason with, yeah, you know.
Yeah, talk about that, like, because I was so surprised. He's like, yeah, Jason shot a doe. I'm like, oh, okay.
So he comes back to camp, you know, and he tells us, yeah, I shot this doe, and he's showing us the track. Then he tracked the shit out of it, like, you know.
Yeah. Quite a ways, really. Ground.
Yeah, he was walking in, you know. Yep. And the deer had its head down feeding, and he just, you know, he pulled a shot on it. And then he come, and he finally said, I lost blood, you know. And he had tracked it quite a ways, it looked like, but it was a lot of the, you know, back and forth shit, you know. So then, you know, and we said, well, Ernie and I said, well, we'll go with you, you know, we'll go find it. Okay. So we're heading over there, and he goes, well, where it actually ended up is only 149 yards off the road. Yeah. Was it 130?
Yeah.
Off the road, you know. So we said, well, we'll go in that way.
So let me know when we're even.
Yeah.
We'll park.
Well, it was that little swale there, you know.
Oh, yeah.
So we start in the swale, and we go through the other side of the swale, and he goes, we're getting pretty close to the last blood. I had them little markers, like, on there, you know. So we get up there, and all of a sudden he stops, and Ernie's ahead of me, and he stops. And he goes, yeah, last blood's right up here. And I look to my right, and I goes, well, here's the deer.
we ran right into it.
It was laying there right to my, and I walked over there, and I said, well... And he grew horns, too.
And it was not a doe.
No. So it was a bonus deer.
Ended up being a spike horn.
Spike horn, yes. Yeah.
Well, and that's one of the things,
well,
too.
Well, like, it had its head down, though.
In
you
Owego
know, so.
County. He was good.
Yeah, he was good.
But that's the thing is, like, you know, that's a dude from out of state who, you know, didn't necessarily have to worry about that because of where we were hunting and
stuff. If you went north out of camp, now you're in the antler part.
Yeah,
you know,
antler restriction.
So then it would have been
camp.
Yeah.
That would have been a bad, you know, bad deal.
We had a lot of acorns there, though.
Yeah, there was.
Yeah, there was a lot of acorns.
But then
we go track. You guys end up coming over, meeting up with us, you know, at Tim's Deer. Then we get back to camp. And in the meantime, TJ is back at camp, and he's like, changing clothes, getting out knives, getting all this stuff out.
So TJ works at a butcher shop, and they do deer processing. And so he built a mobile deer skinning rig for his hitch.
A crank.
And he had
a hoist.
Yep. And he had all the tubs and bags and everything.
Yeah, he pulled it right in between the two campers and went to town. And that was
put
impressive.
Some light on it, yeah.
He said he's been doing it for like a dozen years, 12 years out.
He does like over 1,000 deer a year.
Yeah.
And what also was cool is we didn't have a buck pole. And so my buddy whose property it is, who doesn't hunt, like in the meantime, like throws up a buck pole just so we could take some pictures and stuff. And TJ's like, I knew Adam was going to want to take pictures and all this stuff, but he's over there, like John's like saying, I mean, he's there with the knife.
Oh, he
like,
had plastic gloves on for 2 hours.
He had nothing but a t-shirt on, man. It was like 40 some degrees, you know. He's like over there running around and stuff, you know. He's like, hey, yeah, when are we going to do this?
Ninja.
You know?
He's going to ninja those.
Well, and he said, I planned on doing four. He said, I figured
4 to 5.
4 to 5 this week. And he's just, I didn't plan on doing them all in one night. And so by the time like the smoke cleared on everything, it was 10 o'clock. By the time everybody got back to camp and right. we collected up all the deer. And then we had to hang them up and take pictures. And one of the things, and I don't think Michael was really like trying to say we were doing something wrong. But he was, because we were making fun of Joe because he shot the family group. But it was just like busting your buddy's balls. He's like, no deer shaming. You know, don't do any deer shaming. It's like, this is just deer camp. Like, this is not deer shame. It wasn't like we were looking sideways at him and saying, you shouldn't have done that.
Right.
It was like, that's what you're supposed to do. Like, you have to, it doesn't matter.
You got to bust your balls.
You know, it's like, right. it's like we looked at Tim Clark's deer and said, man, imagine what he would have been next year. And like, who gives a shit? You know, it was just so cool. And it was like, the atmosphere at camp was super cool, like all weekend, but Saturday night. And I don't want you to like, as a listener, to think like, oh my God, everybody was just like getting drunk and hooping and hollering. Like, that was what was crazy, is that even the guys that weren't getting up in the morning, like, nobody drank. Like,
I went up with an 18 pack, not even, it was a partial 18 pack. And I went home and I still had a beer left in the cooler, you know. So,
well,
you were drinking ours. I mean,
I took. So when we went to the Total Archery Challenge, I took all the beers out of my fridge.
Yep.
I set it out. We did the food. I turned around and all the beer was gone. And John's. It was like it was like over 100 and some beers. This time I brought all the same thing and I'm like, oh, I'm going to get rid of these. You know, there's a whole cooler full of beer still.
Yeah. And thank God.
And everybody.
I hit it a couple of times.
Yeah.
And everybody was just, you know, having a couple beers. And then back to the rules and regulations. I think it was Saturday. It was Saturday because the guy only works on
Saturday morning.
So I'm
late morning.
I come back from hunting and everybody's, you know, milling about or whatever. I go over to my camper and there's this big yellow sticker that says Township Supervisor or something. It's got a name and number, and then there's all these regulations printed out for me. And Ernie's like, did you get your note? So what happened? I mean, you guys were there.
Well, I was still in bed. I was like,
yeah, I was there.
I was laying there and I heard, I'm like, who the hell is talking outside my camper like that? I didn't recognize
I seen you talking to that guy and it didn't even dawn on me
well,
at first.
He pulled up on Jason's side, of course, and he got out and he says, or one of the guys at camp said, hey, how's it going? And he said, all right, well, who owns the property? I said, neither one's here. Neither one. And I said, well, I better get over there and kind of smooth things over here real quick. He seemed ornery at first, you know, but it wasn't bad at all. I mean, told him, this is two properties. And the guy said, oh, okay.
Because you're only allowed four campers.
Four campers per property.
And then he looked and he goes, four? Four? He says, well, you're good. Except the outhouse, he says, there's got to be a permit posted on the outhouse. I said, well, I'd be shocked if Adam hadn't followed through on that. And I started talking to him, and I just said, well, what the hell are you doing working on a Saturday? And then from there, it just went like, yeah, you guys hunting, back and forth. And
what did the complaint read?
Oh, yeah, he says, oh, I got to read you this complaint. And he says, it appears as though a village has popped up on Red Cedar. Could you please check it out? That's what the complaint was.
Or Dutch Elm or whatever.
And And so he even chuckled. He said, all right. He said, but you guys, everybody's leaving Sunday anyways, right? And then when's the Portable John going to be gone? Probably Monday. So he was cool. And he said, well, if have him call me if he's got any questions. So.
But you had also called.
I called. I left a message with three human beings and two messages on the answering machine. And they're only open 9 hours a week or something.
Yep.
And they didn't call me back, so.
And we needed a shitter.
Yeah, I mean, it would have been way worse if I had not had it.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
There would have been, you know, things left behind. but, like, that, I think that just added more to, like, the allure of deer camp because it was just something else to talk about, you know, like they were talking about, like, well, if there's any fees or anything.
I forget who I was talking to. We did talk about that. I forget. I don't know if it was one of the out-of-staters or what. I said, next year we're going to have a two-holder. That'll speed things up a little bit there. He's looking at me like that.
I don't think so, Tim.
I said, well, Frank grew up with a three-holder.
Yeah, that was
the whole family was out there.
I was young.
Yeah.
Real young.
Yeah.
Yeah, you didn't have indoor plumbing, right?
Oh, heavens, no.
It wasn't made yet.
And believe me, when they talked about the Montgomery Wards and the Sears catalogs, the smooth pages, that's what we wiped with right there.
Wow.
There wasn't no regular shit tickets.
Smear sheets.
Yeah. Oh
my God.
Newspaper.
Well.
Whatever.
Well, that's like our deer camp in the UP, when I first started going up there, there was no power. There was... we had a generator, there was kerosene lights, and there was an outhouse. And there's, I mean, now we got power, we got a shower, we got satellite TV, but we still have an outhouse. So it's still.
But know, it's a nice outhouse.
Mm-hmm. Well, now the new
now
one.
Now it is.
You seen the new one? That
no, I haven't
got
to frequent that one yet.
Yeah, the new one's about as big as this room.
What I enjoyed the most about the old one, though, was
the seat.
The seat, dude. You could go out there and it'd be like 20 degrees, man.
It was one of those like raised foam seats. Yep. And so,
I mean, as soon as you sit on it, it's a little chilly, and then all of a sudden, man, she warmed right up.
That's no bullshit. That's for real.
It's like them old hot seats that you used to sit on, you know?
But I think, like, what I wanted to kind of, the point, like, to get across or like, to discuss was, like, you know, John, how many years have you been hunting?
Well, I'll be 48 this year. I've been hunting since I was 12.
Outside of, like, shooting a big giant buck or whatever, like, when have you had more fun going deer hunting?
Well, it's been a long time. Ohio.
Mm-hmm.
Like... But that was some, you know, that was some serious, like, especially the first year, whatever. It was like we busted our balls because we were driving, getting up early. And,
right.
You know, we didn't have much time to even drink a beer.
Right.
The next year when we were on the mountain, all the deer got killed and all the beers got killed, you know.
Oh, yeah.
That was fun. But this was a whole different, you know.
Right. Like, it wasn't.
This was like, hunt if you want to hunt. Don't. If you don't want to hunt. You know, well, it kind of, like, so. My son, you know, he graduated high school this year. Last year he was doing like football and girls, and the year before that was football and girls. So he didn't hunt much. And then he ended up getting up there and seeing all these guys and listening to all the stories. He's pretty, you know, quiet and laid back, kind of like me. But then on Saturday, he shot his bow all day.
He did, like, hundreds of times.
Right. And then he hunted with me that night. And on the way back, he's like, Dad, we should bring the camper to our property. And then he's like, I want to, he gets back and he's getting all the, he wants a different bow and this and that. He ended up, he came back up, got all the hunting gear. And I think he ended up.
Did he come over to my house?
Yep. Went over to Frank's. This is when I'm, so I flew out Wednesday morning. He was at the house Tuesday night, got all the gear and stuff. And I'm like, he's like, I'm going to go back up there and hunt. I'm like, by yourself? He's like, yeah, I'll just sleep in the Subi, Dad. I'll go sleep on our property up in Irons. I'm like, yeah, maybe you should just wait till I get back. Nope. It, like, sparked something in him. Because he actually called me then Thursday or Friday night, and he went up mm-hmm. and he found the spot, got all set up, and then the rain, poured on him. And he's like, "Yeah, I'm heading back home to dry my clothes out, Dad." But so, like, here he went from not hunting for 2 years to going up to that deer camp, and now all of a sudden he's going out on his own. So it was like,
but I think, you know, one of the cool things about it was all of the, like, the learning, like the things that you kind of like take for granted. And that's what I said about going out to that elk camp was like that sitting around the fire or whatever and telling stories and, you know, reminiscing about the day and then back in the day and all that stuff. But like the knowledge, I don't even think it's like the knowledge. I don't think that's the right word, but I think just seeing that other people are doing it, because I don't think that you really, I mean, I'm sure that Jet learned some stuff, but I think what maybe he realized and a lot of these other guys did was like, yeah, if you were to just drop somebody without that and say, hey, you got to go hunt there, it might be like overwhelming or like daunting, but when, you know, now he's got a spot where he can just go in and now he can start to, you know, start with that baseline of building blocks to go in and right. work from, instead of just being like, well, where am I going to hunt, Dad? How am I going to do it?
And that was like, so like in the past, I've always hunted for him, you know, and he's come with me and he's had opportunities like he should have killed or had an opportunity at a doe the one time I ended up shooting it because he had was just not paying attention. But and he would listen to me. But then I think when he seen the group and that there's guys going out not seeing anything, then there was guys that had opportunities that passed, and then the night that five deer are killed and he went on the track, and then listening to all the stories and like where, especially with Tom, you know, telling the guys, like, you know, right off the road, like following tracks through the sand and then finding the acorn trees and finding that hot sign. And then he went in with me. I'm like, okay. So I hadn't been to that spot that till the night before, you know. When I got there with Pat, I'm like, okay, I'll just go whatever way you don't want to go. Like, so Pat went off the trail to the right. And so I just started working my way through the woods, just trying to, you know, look at stuff, end up, you know, there's a bunch of little potholes out in there, and them deer love to frequent, you know, their little transitions, high ground, low ground. And I end up pushing a couple deer. I bumped a couple. And so I kept going a little farther, and I'm pretty sure I heard them bump again, and then got up and I found a couple good cross. You know, I didn't find any good acorn trees, but I was like, it's at the point where I got to get in a tree.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's when I had a big doe come out. And I seen two more come out behind her, and they went, you know, like straight away. And then she come in. That's when I was like, oh, sweet, big lone doe. And then she's coming right in on the runway. And then all of a sudden, little dummy comes running from behind me downwind. me. And then stops, like, right in my shooting lane. And then runs over to her, freaking, like, starts banging on her belly, starts drinking.
Oh, yeah.
And then Mama kicks her off, and she runs off. And then Mama walks right to where I'd come in and crossed the runway, which was 10 yards, stopped. And then so she turned and then walked diagonally right through my shooting lane. you know, like from 15 to 20, I could have just, but then I was like, that was going through my head. Like, and then of course I get back and Tom's like, I would have shot her. Like, basically, don't be a bitch, you know? He's like, I never feel bad.
But then Jet ended up seeing a buck too, and I think that maybe
right. sparked it too. So the story. So then, I was like walking them through it, like, okay, this is where I sat, and I'd seen the deer the way they were moving, and that doe did end up getting downwind of me, and she blew. So I'm like, all right, we're gonna come. We're gonna go in a little bit further, and we're gonna just kind of push our way in, and we, you know, and the whole way I'm, you know, pointing out. We found some rubs, a bunch of fresh poop, and some good crossing trails in between like three of those little potholes. But right in that section where I'm like, man, this is where we should be sitting, you know, but there was no tree. It was all those red pines. and with trying to put two saddle, you know, two platforms and have two of us, because basically I was the hunter, you know. But anyway, we ended up, we had to go past it about 30 yards to find a tree that we could both get in. And sure enough, like 5:30, two does come walking out right down that trail that we had just crossed. And he's like, "Dad, they went right through where, you know, right where you said they were." Like, and so now he's like, he's retaining that stuff. Like after hearing all the stuff at camp, and then we went out and did it and seen it. And then that was like I said, 5:30. Then at like 6:45, still good shooting light. The wind died right down to nothing. It was super calm, and we were sitting there. I was up above him. I was kind of leaning down. We were kind of whispering, and I hear something off to my left on the backside of that pothole. And I was like, "Hear that?" And he looked over, and I mean, it was instant. Like, there was no doubt it was a nice or a buck. He's like, "It's a buck." But the buck just kind of walked and then skirted down. He was like 50 yards. I didn't get to see it because of the way the pine boughs, I was up a little higher, but then he just kind of walked off, and then, you know, he never come into shooting range. But that was like kind of confirmation for Jet, like, there's a buck in there. Like, and so seeing how we walked in and listening to those guys, it's like, well, I can do this. So now he's all excited, like, I'm gonna go up and do it myself, you know.
Well, that's what's cool, is because, you know, for a lot of the time, and you said he had a bunch of homework to do or something, mm-hmm. but he was just like not out there when everybody was out shooting bows and dinking around, you know. So, and then in the evening, like, he was here and there, but it's one of those where I wanted to make sure everybody was like having a good time, like whatever. And I'm like, "Oh, where's Jet? Like, what's he doing?" You know, so it's super cool to hear that, like, he's like all jazzed up, because honestly, Tom must have said it 100 times while we were there. He's like, there's a lot of guys that'll never get to experience just the camp.
I couldn't believe how many of those guys, even Johnson, John.
Yeah.
He said, "I've never been nothing like this." And he's hunted, what, all his life?
Yeah.
And I thought that is cool as hell.
Well, I'd never met him before, uh-huh. right?
And he lives not far from
me. Yeah, he only lives probably 5 miles or less than 5 miles from me. Yeah. And the thing was, you know, then the more we talked, you know, I says, well,
you know a lot of people.
Well, I knew his dad, yeah, you know. Dave. You know, I knew his dad, you know, and I'm going, "Oh, shit," you know. I mean, you just don't, you know, you don't realize it until you sit there, you know, and sit down with somebody and you start bullshitting, you know.
Well, what was, I don't know, it was kind of cool. It sounds like Frank wants a little bit more defined roles next year, because he kind of felt like the camp bitch, I think, because he was over there with the food. But
well, it usually comes our way.
Yeah, it's like a magnet, man.
But it was,
I found out Adam's strategy. He doesn't put out a fucking table. You know what I mean?
Then he goes, "Well, look at all that room.
Look at all those
got.
Tables over there at Uncle Frank's." You know? No, it was cool.
But what I was going to say is that, like, all the food was at Frank's trailer, and that's where Frank and Ernie were staying, and so everybody would be like out around the fire or whatever, but like during the day, like, guys would, you know, sit and talk. And then when they went and got the food, it was like FaceTime with Uncle Frank and Ernie. So they got, you know, you'd be like, "Where's somebody else?" "Oh, they went to get food. They've been gone for an hour." You know? Right. And I mean, they're 50 yards away, but like in between these two campers, and you go over there and Uncle Frank's just bullshitting with everybody and carrying on. But, you know, Ernie's at the map and he's looking at people's phones.
I have never gone. I run Onyx, and I've never been on that so much in my life, sharing stuff, what I did. And they'd come to me and says, "Hey, I'm over here and look at this terrain." You know, I said, "Well, okay, let's look at it." You know,
it was like,
and
we had,
it was enjoyed
there was,
it.
There was actually a time where I told him, I said, "You might need to get the fire extinguisher out. Your fucking phone is smoking."
Oh, no shit. It was crazy. It was enjoyable.
But it was cool, because we had like the resident, like the old timers, like, "All right, where are we going? What are we going to do?" You know. But the thing was, is that was what was difficult for me, like, going into it, like, trying to set up something like this. Like, I don't have 30 spots to hunt myself because I don't hunt like the spot, you know, like, right. Like I did what I would have done if I was going to go up there and hunt. Like, well, I seen deer cross the road here. They're over here all the time. So let's go in there and find out why they're there.
Right.
But it's like, you know, like they're saying, Ernie, like, well, you hunt up here, you know, what it's like, the fuck I do. Like,
well, and the thing was, you know, when did we pull the trailer up? The day before? We were up there the day before, weren't we?
I think so.
Pulled the fifth wheel in there?
Because I went up there on Monday and you guys went up there Tuesday.
Yeah.
Yes.
So then.
That's correct.
Yeah. So 2 days ahead of time. Yeah.
That.
We got a chance,
you know, to look around a little bit, you know, that day, you know.
Road scouting mainly, but we went out and looked. We made a couple of tours out by foot.
But like, you know, that reminds me, like, I mean, I know when I was young and we'd go turkey hunting.
Mm-hmm.
But also, when I did go bow hunting with my dad, it'd just be like, we would just drive dirt roads for hours.
That's all we do, like, Frank.
And just looking out the window and then backing up.
Yeah, he
you see that runway, Henry?
Yep.
He passed that knowledge along to Frank. And so, like, me being like a 18, 19, 20-year-old kid who's, you know, super hungover, got up super early, and, like, we're going to hunt. So we go and hunt. We're done. You know, we'll be done hunting by 10 o'clock. Well, shit, you're not getting home till 1, 2 o'clock. It's like, I want to go check this spot out. And you'd get out, you'd walk 100 yards off the road, and you're like, oh, there's a rub here, there's a scrape here. And we never hunted any of those spots, ever. But we always just walked in and checked them out, you know. And we looked at every single track, and we backed up. And it was like, you see that runway? Yeah. Oh, look at that runway. Oh, my God, they're crossing here. But yeah. I know your dad. Like, I don't know if it was I know someone killed a deer based off of, like, in my tenure, like, where your dad would just go in that minivan and just park along the side of the road and watch deer cross and say, I seen a buck cross at this time.
Nice one went across at 10 o'clock, Frank, down there, right on that corner right there, you know. That's how he found that clear spot over there.
Oh, the guys loved that up at camp. I mean, every time you'd refer to that... You'd call it a queer spot. They just, like, double over or just, like, look at me like.
Did he just say that?
Well, honest to God, that's, he told me about, he said he saw a buck cross that corner, you know. Well, I went over there and looked, man, there were scrapes right off the road right there. Mm-hmm. So I go in there. Well, there's no place to put my stand, right? I mean, there's no trees. So I put it right on the base of one of the trees right there at the bottom of it, you know, and I'm sitting on my stand on the ground. I cut this one little thing, sapling off, and stuck it in front of me.
Charlie Brown tree.
And the scrapes were right out in front of me off this curve. And I'm sitting there, and I kept hearing something behind me, you know, and I thought, man, it's coming up behind me. And it was kind of thick back there. And I was leaning around, looking, never did see anything, you know. And then all of a sudden, I just turned and looked back, and I got a dandy 8-point right on that scrape in front of me, and he's probably 10 yards, you know. And I'm going like, my God, this is like 9 o'clock in the morning, you know.
And if you'd shot that deer off the ground, the arrow would have landed in the road.
Probably.
Oh, it would have crossed the road, probably.
Yeah.
Oh, literally, the scrapes? I would say 40 feet.
Legal distance.
40 feet off the road? Oh, you're on the other side of him.
Yeah, absolutely.
So you're 60, maybe 75 feet off the road.
It's crazy, though, how that stuff works. You know?
Yeah, but that's
old dirt road.
My old man would tell me that about 100 a spot. I mean, even up until, like, he couldn't drive anymore. Up until that point. Oh, yeah, I've seen a whole bunch of deer. You know, go down there.
Oh, yeah. He was always, he just loved to drive around. You know what I mean? He loved being in the woods, you know, and then it got tough for him to walk, you know.
Right.
But he would be in that van, man. And I mean, he would like, right over there, Frankie, right there. 10:30.
Perfect. Sleep in.
Yeah.
But that's how it was up there, though. You know, like the guys driving around. You know, seeing the deer, you know, the deer movement during the day, and then kind of.
But that's like what I, you know, I think when I say that to me was like a real Michigan type deer camp. You know, Chris Burnett, he says, you know, this is great. He's like, if you want to hunt, hunt. If you don't want to hunt, don't hunt. If you want to hunt hard, go ahead. And, if you don't want to hunt that hard, yep. Don't.
There was a lot of different shared knowledge, I mean, on every aspect of the camp, you know what I mean, as far as bows or shooting your bows, you know, or, you know, TJ with the deer cleaning, you know, and all that stuff, you know, and yeah, sure, if you guys drank, you know what I mean, but, you know, I mean, other than that, I mean, it was great. There was, I mean, we had, that was a plethora of information. You know,
but I think like a lot of times, you know, you're talking about driving around and just looking for tracks and doing stuff. You know, people get caught up in like the big deer and going deep and all this sort of stuff. And, you know, if you are of that mindset of like, I just want to go up, have a good time, shoot a deer, like. That could be a lot of fun, a lot more fun than posting a picture of a big buck on Instagram that nobody will freaking remember.
Even if you are a serious hunter and you're only shooting decent bucks, let's say Eric Nelson or somebody like that, and they still came here and had a great time.
Yeah,
it's a getaway.
Well, and
for him,
and Eric sent me a camp picture yesterday morning of like he called it a spike, but it was it was three on one side. It was a six, I mean, but it was looked like a sicka deer, like a big one, you know. Yeah. And he's like grounded him out of the marsh this morning, you know, perfect, did just what I wanted, but just not big enough. And I said, would he have died last weekend? And he's like, oh god, yes. And, you know, that was just the vibe of the whole weekend, you know. It was just fun,
right? Yeah, there was no pressure,
no,
to be like the big buck slayer, you know, like it was just fun.
Well, and I should say this. We gave away a ton of stuff from Latitude, from Trophy Line, Zinger Fletchings, and some Huntworth stuff. And, you know, for the guys that ended up basically like the guys that came from the longest, I gave and TJ for what he did, and then I just kind of had a grab bag where everybody else just kind of picked whatever they wanted out of there, because I really did appreciate everybody like coming up there and you know, taking the time going all the way up there. But I was like gonna do that as like I was gonna do like the smallest deer, you know, the biggest buck, like first blood, like all that stuff. And Wyatt like took the plasma cutter and drew these things out and made these plaques for everybody. And that was super cool, but I wanted to make like the smallest deer like a thing so that it wasn't, so we got away from that. Like,
right.
You'd be like, hey man, I can get a prize if I shoot this, you know? Because that, if, in the timing of the hunt, like if you would have timed that hunt, like when things were happening, like when bucks were chasing or they were hitting scrapes or like all this stuff was happening, you'd be more apt to pass. Cause you'd be like, oh, I don't know what's coming. Or I saw a big one go by out there, so I didn't shoot this one. And, you know, Walt's had a camp for 2 years down there. And I think it's kind of like around like the rut type, or like, I know he's doing like a rut one, I don't know. But they've yet to kill a deer, and they've been passing deer. And he's like, I can't get people to shoot deer. And I'm like, well, you just got to incentivize it. Like, or you got to shame them. You got to shame them into not shooting.
You better get some meat tonight.
you pass a deer again, it'll be the last deer you ever hunt. That's all you
and got. And the thing that I took away from this, too, is it, what's overwhelming to me is I'm not good with names, you know, so I had to ask these guys every time I talked to them, you know, what's your name, you know. And I hope you guys don't get pissed at me for doing that, but I mean, that's just the way I work, you know.
That's the way it runs in the family, because I'm the same way. Like I know the guys, I can't remember names worth a shit.
Well, it's easier for them. You can take 25 guys, okay, I'm one, you know. They say, we know Uncle Frank, you know. Yeah, it's kind of hard to miss me, you know what I'm saying, or forget my name, you know.
Like, I got a sticker with you on my cup.
Yeah. So I apologize if I mess some names up or something, but I had a great time, and I really, really enjoyed it myself, too. It was fun.
Well, and that was the thing, is like, I didn't really know, you know, because you didn't really hunt. You hunted like one day. You hunted like 2 Sundays.
I hunted twice.
Yeah. But it's like...
Blowdown city over there. Come out of the woods like, my God, where's my caddy?
There's several takeaways that were pretty cool, really. Highlights for me. 5 deer hit, 5 deer recovered. Mm-hmm. Good takeaway. 9 yep. arrows flew in one evening. Right?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. I had 2 guys tell me they never ate that good before hunting. And I'm going, really?
Yeah,
that was just so average food for us.
We got to say, like, you know so Pat made.
Next year we'll do something a little bit special.
Spaghetti. And that was really awesome.
Yes.
And Chris and Jack made
chili.
And that was for midday. And it was great. And I felt like it was just a good
camp food
thing to, mm-hmm. you know, just kind of fill your belly. So you didn't have to think about it. You just went and ate. But, yeah, everybody got enough to eat. But yeah, I mean, that was just that wasn't anything.
We're used to it.
Yeah.
We prepare well.
Yeah.
Well, we had to do the garlic bread, though, right, John?
Garlic bread. We cooked hot dogs.
Yeah, hot dogs.
Just throw them on the flat.
Well, yep. And then Pat, Brian, was it?
Brian
cooked all that sausage that night. Sliced it up on the table.
They hooked it right on the fire.
And wow. Michael brought how much cheese?
Smoked cheese. Oh, my God.
There was 10 pounds at least.
Easy.
Of cold smoked cheese, like different kinds. And it was just.
Yeah, there was
that was great.
There was plenty of food. But, I mean. You know, we can tweak it a little bit, make it a little better.
Yeah,
but I think for a first time doing it, B, you know, never hunting any of the land before, it was very, very successful from that. But the camp was the star of the show. I mean, the atmosphere.
Well, you think about it, together. You know, there was a lot of people in the woods, right?
Well, but that's my cousin Ben.
But it only took 2 days, and all of a sudden, most people were where they needed to be. Can you imagine if they had you'd hunted 2 more days?
Yeah.
Well, TJ would have had to call up recruits.
Right. You need to put a motor on that thing.
But I was telling my cousin Ben, you know, how many guys were going to be up there, and he's like, well... Yikes, he goes, but he says, well, you got the numbers. So, like, so this odds are pretty good. If you spread out, you're going to, you know.
You're gonna kill something.
Well, I mean, and it, you know, like Ernie said, you know, it took a couple of days, you know, to get everything kind of figured out, you know. You know, where, you know, and you got the moon, you got the wind, you know, and all that stuff you're figuring,
And it looked like they were settled back into that evening movement, too.
Yeah, yeah, that's, well, all that Saturday night, yeah, that's when everything happened there, you know.
I just got to say thank you guys for,
problem. I enjoyed it.
Helping out, helping, you know, point people in the right direction and, you know.
Finding deer, you know.
Yeah.
There he is right there.
That was cool. We didn't have to track.
I just, yeah.
He goes, last blood's right here, you know, and he's standing in front of him, you know, or standing there with him.
Well, he looked up at a little ribbon had the tree, and I go,
marker,
all right.
You know.
I heard Frank.
So there you go.
It's right there.
There's a deer.
I just
damn near stepped on it.
That part to me is just so cool. Like that all the guys getting to go out and do the tracking and go and experience that. And you know, you're right, John. I kind of just forgot about that. Like, you know, we went and found Josh's deer, came back. And I knew where Tim was going to be, so I'm like, oh, there's his excursion. And then we could see the lights right off the road, so we just popped in there, and it was like, holy shit, there's 10 guys.
A village.
You know.
Small village. Like, but what's cool about that is, like, I mean, like I said, he showed everything that he did, showed where he shot it, and then we all tracked it together. And then there was guys on the track that had never tracked a deer before. And so and they were asking questions and stuff and not feeling stupid about, like, here you're in a camp with a bunch of guys. Some guys would be intimidated to, like, you know, I'm not going to ask them. Like, I don't want to sound like I don't know anything. But it wasn't that kind of atmosphere. It was like,
all right,
what are you, well, how come you're doing it like that? Or what was that about? And, you know, and so it was.
Well, and the thing is that I say this often, but any time that he's in camp, and not that he just would fit in my pocket, because I say that every time too. But
he did take the brunt of some short stuff.
He got the short stick. Is that what
you're saying? Oh boy!
But no, that Tim's like one of the best. He's one of the best guys that I know. But as far as like explaining things and all the saddle stuff, I mean, there's nobody better, I would say, as far as teaching. But you know, you think about like what we, you know, we went to Dan Infault Scouting Seminar, you know, and that was cool, but it was all historical. Oh, this is what I did at this time and this. Like, those guys really got that 100% in real time that you,
oh,
I mean, you couldn't repeat that if you tried, really, you know, to be like, okay, we're going to bring guys out. We're going to kill a buck on public land that we've never been to before in our lives.
Right, and then explain.
And then explain everything.
Yeah, yeah. Like the knowing that tracks went in, he had circled it, you know, it just happened that that pothole had, he could go all the way around it. Mm-hmm. So he knew that there were deer in it. Then he found the acorns, got up, and it was like, bam, the deer walked right up. There was actually two bucks in there that come up.
Yeah.
Just like right, he read him the script.
And the other one didn't make it to him because he killed the first one.
And he's seen a bigger buck,
mm-hmm,
like during that sit, like a really nice buck. But he still killed the other buck, which was nice as well. I mean,
right.
But that's, I mean, if nobody killed anything, like my, like out, like my, like trump card is like, hey, you came to a hunting camp with the world's worst bow hunter. Like, that's on you, buddy. But you, I mean, but the fact was, is that, you know, there were all levels of hunters there, and you know, the guys that are really have it figured out were on deer, you know, just like that. And you know, most of them killed deer or shot at them. I mean, I feel like Tom gave away 100 spots and then, you know, he's using a stick bow, so
right,
like made a perfect shot four feet over this deer or whatever.
We had to hold somebody's hand. I mean, everybody was a hunter.
No, right. No. But what I mean is, like,
you know, that's what's cool. I didn't know what to expect when you said 30, and I'm thinking, okay, Patreons, they got to be interested in hunting, right? They're listening to a bow hunting podcast.
But I think
so. It was nice.
But the level of guys that were there, but I think one thing that like manifested itself that I didn't realize is that those guys like were like so committed that they were like, okay, well, I want to go to this.
Yeah.
Yep. You know, with like not knowing what to expect any more than I did. Maybe they thought I knew what I was doing as far as, you know, but
when we found his Jason's deer, you know, the look on his face said it all. You know what I mean? It was like a kid in a candy store.
He was excited.
He was excited, dude. And then when I told him, well, that's a buck, you know? Oh, you're kidding, you know? And I said, no, dude. And
I said, it's not real big, but it's going to be tasty, I said.
But I mean, it's, you know, that was a fun time, you know what I mean, right there. Just to, you know, the way we found a deer and stuff. And he was jacked, you know? He was jacked up. He was excited.
Pretty normal, though.
Well, and Ernie, you'd mentioned Eric Nelson and John Johnson, those guys hunt that area,
right?
And they have killed nice bucks in there, and they weren't like, "Hey, don't go into my area." They were like, "Come on,
you know, you're welcome."
And when I told Eric about it, I was like, "I'm not trying to like get in on your spots," and I was avoiding, like, I never even scouted over that area, you know, because part of me is like, I didn't want to see it because I know that he hunts in there. So if like I found something good or whatever, I'd be like, you know, feeling like I want to go in there. But he's like, no, man. And he's like, I'll take people in there. He's like, it's like bringing a kid in there, you know, like, or like, yep. When you John, maybe you have this experience before, and maybe it's changed now, but like, you know, when you like drag a kid along who doesn't want to do something, but they're in there, and then you have an opportunity for maybe somebody you don't know, but they're like super excited, or it's going to be their first time, or whatever. I mean, it's a whole nother ball game. And I think probably one Jet like flipped the script and was like, oh, I love this. Now it's like,
a light switch went off. Yeah. He goes, he's seen how what it takes to do it.
Right.
Firsthand. And he knows he can do it.
Right. And you know,
his confidence level sky high now.
That was the thing. Like, so like I said, I brought him, he's seen deer a ton of times,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I've explained to him like what we're doing and why we're here and there. And like the night that he should have killed or had a shot at that one doe, you know, I told him like where the deer are going to come from. And he was just looking in the wrong direction, not paying attention. And they come right out. He's like, and he was so mad. He's like, I wanted to throw my bow out of the tree. He's like, here, you served it up basically on a silver platter. And I'm, I'm on the other side eating a pile of poop. Like, you know, he was like, but it's like, I think it, and I used to do the same thing. Like, ah, okay, dad. Okay, dad. Okay, dad. But then to see that whole group of guys
mm-hmm.
and then go out, track a nice buck, do all that. You know, it did. It, you know, that was kind of like the little spark to get him back into it.
Well, when he called me about his stand, you know, and then he come and got his stand, I didn't know it. He just ended up, I sat around by the barn, you know, and I thought, well, why don't you come up to the house, you know, give me a holler. And he went in and found his stand, you know, and then he went and hunted the next day, and it got in the rain, you know, and I called him. I said, man, you coming over to get your stand? I said, I got to looking in there, and I said, it's gone. Yeah, I got it, you know. So, and he said, I went up and hunted that spot, you know. And I'm going, really? And, yeah. And we talked, you know, for a while, and I said, you know, I says, Ernie and I are going to be up to the trailer, you know, over the weekend and stuff. I said, if you you want to come up there, you know, and stay and hunt, you know, You're more than welcome. Oh, man, okay, you know. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I told him. I said, you let me know, you know.
And, well, again, it's another fun deer camp.
Right, and I told him, too. I'm like, I gave him Adam's number. Mm-hmm. I'm like, Adam's going to have more time hunting with me than I am, I mean. And so he would, I'm sure, would love to take you. Mm-hmm. Like, and so I'm actually, we are going to go up and camp this weekend.
Are you?
And...
that your property?
No, we're actually going over towards, well, we're going to Bazell's hunting camp where they have gun camp. And so I'm like, well, shit, we're going to be up hunting woods. I'm like, I haven't talked to Jet yet since I got back, but I'm mm-hmm. going to tell him, hey, come up, we can go hunt. So
where's Bazell's? Roughly.
It's in Michigan.
They'll be giving away spots, Ernie. Come on.
It's in Michigan.
Where I stay?
Oh, no.
It's quite a ways.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
But
I was going to say you could jump
over.
Just
north of here.
Gotcha.
But I think that, I mean, overall, we can wrap this up, but it's definitely something that we got to do again.
Oh, yeah.
And
we might have to get, like, some more property.
Well, I'll tell you about that here in a second.
We're gonna have better parking.
Skim the surface. Yeah. We got some logistical things to work out, but overall, it was just a phenomenal time. And not that I wish it would have went worse, but I feel like it's a like trying to capture lightning in a bottle twice.
Right.
You know, like it was really something.
Right, so you don't want to have people come
up
next year.
I think though, with the group of guys that we had, you know, I mean,
even if a deer wasn't killed,
yeah,
it would have been awesome.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it was a fun time. You know,
mm-hmm.
shoot, like
who was shooting a log with my stick bow?
Eric.
Eric,
and that was the thing. Is like so, Eric. Is out of New York now. He's left-handed, and he's like, you know, nobody's got a recurve. He's like, have Frank bring his recurve. Frank brings a recurve, no arrows. So I had some arrows.
I fletched all the arrows. So,
but you know, I mean, he it's midday, and I get it out, put it together, and he launches the first one like I don't know a foot over the target, and he's like, "Oh man, I suck at this," and then I'm like, "No, that's what you're supposed to do. Like, you know, you don't know what you're doing." So Tom like walked him through how to kind of get on target. And I think he hit the target once, and then he shot these logs in the back like a whole bunch of times. But he's like, "This is so fun." And I'm like, "Yeah, that's why I love it, because like when you make a bad shot with a compound, like you're like, oh man, because you know you should have done it better. But like if you miss with a recurve, you're like, ha ha, like I'll get him next time." Yeah. Like,
I don't know. Did you see that one go?
Yeah. And that was just super fun. And I was thinking about it, like when you were talking about, like, you know, the group of guys and the atmosphere, energy, like, you know, what it did for Jet, like, in that. I can see why, you know, like on like these retreats and stuff, when guys go and they, like, you know, once you feel comfortable and able to like ask questions or whatever, because I mean, everybody was asking questions, and I think everybody came away, learned something from the weekend, and it didn't matter what your skill level was.
Well, and hopefully they didn't hold back, you know what I mean? So they did get, you know, whatever information they were looking for too, right? You know?
Well, yeah, I think, you know, I think the first annual was appropriate, because we definitely have to do that again, and I'm already looking forward to it. Now, since Tom's in Montana, we're going to have to start putting in for points so we can do the Montana elk camp for the Patreon. So if you're listening and you're a Patreon, start putting in for points for Montana.
You might get lucky and get him to come back next year.
Oh, but he said he wanted to, like, he could work it out. He's going to come back.
So,
yeah, we'll just get him an electrical job or somewhere, you know, for a while. A week or two.
Traveling.
Yeah.
But, so that's just a wrap up of our deer camp. And good luck to everybody who's starting this good part of the season right now for most people. And thanks for listening.